Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 36 of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Mike Sklens. Joining me this week are site director Stephen Windyman Rodriguez and former site director Jonathan Metz. I haven't been around for a while for various reasons, but I'm back now, and I should, in theory, be back for every episode from now on unless I don't know, get sick and die.
What were the various reasons why you were
gone? Yeah, I want to hear. This better be good.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend had just gotten back into town, and she'd been gone for like half a month, so I spent the day with her. And then last week was Martin Luther King weekend, and I completely forgot that we were going away for the weekend.
What about like the 3 months before that?
Yeah, I have no excuses. But now that we have...
I love it. Mike hasn't hosted a podcast since, like, September.
I think
and
I
we're like,
one.
So where have you been? And he's like, well, 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend was in town. Come on. All right.
Well, we have a set schedule for recording these things now, so it's on my list. It pops up an alarm on my phone and all that stuff, so I'm here.
Yeah, it only took us 9 months to come up with a schedule.
Yeah. This week we're going to be talking about... you've probably heard about the whole lady dying, trying to win a Wii thing. Got some little catch-up news on that. Virtual console stuff. But right now, we're going to start with, what have you been playing this week, guys?
I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XII. I purposefully did not get it back when it first came out because I didn't have time to play it. Mm-hmm. And then my plan was to play it over Christmas, but my trip home got delayed by a blizzard, and there was like a whole crazy mess of things that happened, so I actually didn't get to start it until I got back after New Year's, and I've been playing it ever since. I've got about 30 hours into it.
Wow.
I love it. I think it's the best 3D Final Fantasy I've played.
Wow.
For sure. I mean, it's really I think what I like about it is that it kind of fulfills the promise of Final Fantasy back when the PS2 first came out. We were like, okay, finally we have enough horsepower that the entire game world will be 3D, and you can walk wherever you want to, and there are no invisible walls and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And FF10 did none of that. I mean, it was so limited and static camera angles and just incredibly linear. But FF12 does that. I mean, it's more like Dragon Quest VIII, where you just have this giant world, and you can walk wherever you want to. And there are a lot of places you shouldn't walk because the monsters are too hard, but you can get to them. And you can move the camera around, and it looks amazing. And the battle system is really cool. It reminds me a lot of Chrono Trigger.
Oh, what about you, Steven?
Well, I finally got Gears of War for my 360, and it looks really good. It's nice. And I have to say, I was actually surprised how easily I was able to pick up and play it. After, I think, like 10 or 15 minutes, I was totally understanding everything. And I'm hearing all these people complain about how the A button does a little too much, like you use it to duck in and out of cover, you use it to dive, you use it to run, you do all this stuff with it. There are little problems with it if you don't know what you're doing sometimes, but overall, it's just so much fun to play.
The A button
so
controls
amazing.
All your bodily actions in that game, essentially. Anything you do, if you want to shift your body
actions.
In some way, you're going to be hitting the A button. If you're throwing up against a wall, you want to start running. One of my favorite things about Gears of War is how when you start running, the camera dips down to a low angle view and pulls out a little.
And it totally just shakes up and down like there's a guy behind you running. There are just so many little details in it. Like, I'm shooting my gun, and I go to reload, and I can see, like, the heat vapors coming off the gun and storing the area right in front of it. And the whole active reload system, where you have to hit the reload button twice if you want to reload your gun faster, that actually kind of makes a lot of sense, because if you actually had a gun and reloading, you'd want to pay attention to the reload. So you have to stop, look at the little reload meter as you're reloading, so that kind of takes your eyes away from the action for a second, as if you were actually reloading. I really like that.
It makes it so you're never really stopping to play. Like, in other games, if you stop to reload, you just sort of hold for cover and wait for it to reload. But in Gears, you're still playing the game. You're shifting into this reload minigame sort of mode.
Wow. Well, on the topic of Nintendo systems, I'm still playing Super Castlevania IV on Virtual Console, although little by little.
Yeah, that game...
I haven't had a whole lot of time for
that
it.
That game is so
I
hard.
I love it.
I haven't touched it in a couple weeks.
Well, to be fair, it's not nearly the hardest game on Virtual Console.
No.
I mean, it's average difficulty for a Super NES game, probably.
Yeah, it can...
It's just hard compared to nowadays. Mm-hmm. But, like, something like Super R-Type 3 is probably one of the most difficult games of all time. So, I mean, it's
yeah,
Super Castlevania is easy compared to that.
I'm still playing through the first R-Type, and Yeah, with all the shooters that have come out on Virtual Console, it's great if you like shooters, but man, all those games are hard.
Yeah.
Is there such
if you like shooters and crappy NES games, you will love the Virtual Console.
Yeah, so everyone listening at home, a former game tester says, that game is hard.
Yeah. He would know.
Yeah.
As for myself, I've been playing, I just got WarioWare Smooth Moves. I got a reviewable copy from Nintendo earlier in the week, and I've been playing that. And I beat the single player in a day, which is pretty much what I do with every WarioWare game. But it's good, I like it. It's a little better than I thought and a little worse than I thought. It's got a lot of different things you're doing with the remote, and that's good, but it doesn't have a high score mode. Like the mode in all the other WarioWare games where you can play any individual micro game over and over and over and over again is not in there.
How is it for multi? Is it,
I just had about 5 people over last night. One of the multiplayer modes supports up to 12 people, and then there's 2 other that support up to 5, and then there's some other games, like there's a little dark game, and there's some things like that, but the way the 12-player one works is you pick all your Miis for all the people you want playing, and then if the game puts everyone's Mii on the head of like an Icarus-type character that's flying, sort of like, I guess more like an angel, because the wings look real and not wax, but... And you're all flying in the sky, and it's a survival mode where someone's name flashes up on the screen, and that person quickly takes the remote, and then they play one micro game, and then it just keeps going randomly. It does, like, all the people, and then it does everyone again, but in a different order, and then again and again. And if you lose a game, you fall out, so it's sort of just like a last man standing thing. But it's really frantic, because you only have, like, maybe a second to grab the remote from the person who had it last, and then it quickly shows you how to hold the remote control, and then you're playing a game, and 3 seconds later, you're giving a remote to someone else.
So 1 second, that's plenty of time to put on the wrist strap.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely no wrist strap going on, which is dangerous because I'm hoping they filtered this out because one of the WarioWare micro games, you definitely need to be wearing the wrist strap because the instruction is drop it, and all you do is drop the remote control. And if you're not wearing the wrist strap, it's going to hit the floor.
Wow, what were they thinking?
But I'm hoping maybe that got filtered out. It didn't pop up while we were playing the survival mode, so I'm hoping it's just not in there. Okay. But I was a little worried, for sure.
Isn't there a micro game where you kind of have to whip the remote out like you're like a
yeah? Oh, there's a couple. Sword. There's a whole bunch like that. But one of them is you hold it at your waist, and the instruction is wait for it, and. You're like a cowboy. There's a cowboy on the screen, and there's another cowboy, and they're like a shootout. And it says draw, and you have to quickly pull the remote and hit the A or B button to fire the gun and kill the other cowboy.
Mike, I want to ask you: do you think WarioWare is the game of January? I mean, do you think it fills up this month for casual hardcore Wii owners? Do you feel like is this enough to declare that January did not suck for Wii?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, if you were playing single player, maybe not, but if you had people to play it with, I could see this game lasting quite a while, just because it's really insanely crazy, and it was pretty much constant laughter, but I had 5 people over, so we were playing with 6, and it was pretty much constant laughter the whole time throughout, and everyone just trying to look at these things, and like, all the craziest things happen in WarioWare, and especially, we had just gotten back from a party, so everyone was still a little drunk. Which definitely helps out a lot.
How does it compare to Rayman?
It's leagues better than Rayman.
Leagues?
I don't like Rayman very much.
How big is a league?
I don't even know. A lot.
40 feet?
20,000.
No, that's a fathom.
The sea is where it caps.
A fathom is 40 feet.
Oh, okay.
A league is like a lot of fathoms or something.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's way better than Rayman. I have issues with Rayman mostly for the fact that you have to unlock all the games in WarioWare, too. You have to play through the game once to unlock the multiplayer mode. But it really doesn't...
Yeah, but that takes...
Yeah, not very long, because you're only playing 15 games per character, and there's maybe, like, 12 characters? Maybe? Yeah. It really doesn't take very long. You could do it in one sitting, no problem. And Rayman takes a while, and the controls are clunky in Rayman, and the method for selecting minigames in multiplayer mode in Rayman is just a complete nightmare. It's like, it's... I don't know if you guys have seen it, it's like... There's all these categories of, like, precision games or workout games, and you pick the category, and then you're presented with, like, this weird puzzle. Like, it's like a portrait, and it's split into, like, puzzle pieces, and each of the puzzle pieces has, like an image on it, and the image describes the game, and there's not, like, a list. Like, if you scroll over the puzzle piece, it shows you what the name of the game is, but you wouldn't know just by looking at that picture that that's what that game was. It's really terrible.
French.
But Wario's good. It's very quick and fast paced. And I tried out the other multiplayer modes, and one of them is it's up to five people, and you're all running in a race. And as you complete micro games, you go further, and then whoever's in the lead at the end, it shifts to this game where you're all snipping wires, and then whoever's left alive lives. I don't. It's interesting, and I've probably droned on about it for a little too long. So next up is going to be our mail segment. Our question this week comes from someone named Shisha, and Shisha asks, if the Wii is not able to secure any new franchises, do you think it will be able to stand on its own? And this is something I'm sure we've all been thinking about this for a while, because right now it seems like still only Nintendo games are coming out, so I'd like to get your guys' opinions on this.
Do you mean from Nintendo? I mean...
Or I guess, you know, new franchises could indeed be from Nintendo, but I guess we'll also need to look at a third-party aspect. Can it survive on just Nintendo games alone?
Well, I mean, I think there already have been a few new franchises from third parties. You've got Red Steel and Cooking Mama's coming out. There was a DS version of that, but it's not extremely well-known. And from Nintendo, you know, hopefully some things like Project Hammer, which I was not very impressed with at E3, but, we haven't seen it since then. It could be much better now. Hopefully that's going to turn out to be cool. It could be a new franchise, and you've got Disaster Day of Crisis and things like that. So, new franchises typically come later in the cycle, unless it's something like Halo was kind of, for that matter, Halo was originally a PC game, so it's not like it, you know, somebody just jumped out of their skin and said, hey, let's make a brand new franchise for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Launch day. It's not really how it worked. Usually you have to wait a little while to see these things.
Well, I think that Nintendo's still going to need a lot of third-party support, because even though they've got all those new franchises coming out of Nintendo, history has shown that even though Nintendo has all these great games, they can't do it alone. The reason why the NES and the SNES and the PlayStation, for that matter, was so successful is because they had so much third-party support, and a lot of good games among that third-party support, too. So just to have Nintendo bring all these good games will not be enough. You're going to have to see a lot of good stuff come out of third parties, too.
I think we can say so far that Wii has, for the time being, much better third-party support than GameCube had, and it's certainly more than N64.
What if we can... I can't remember. How was GameCube's third-party support at the system launch? Because it seemed just about as good as this to me. We had Monkey Ball and Rogue Leader, even though that was sort of a Nintendo game.
You didn't have as many games announced. Like, you had at launch itself, you had Activision and Sega and LucasArts to some extent. You had these companies, you know, Acclaim was there pretty early on, but you certainly had some things at launch, but there wasn't, like, it wasn't a situation where you had companies setting up studios exclusively for the GameCube,
right,
which we're seeing with Wii. You didn't see far-out announcements like the Resident Evil game. The Sims is pretty far out, I guess. So I think you can kind of... I mean, we already know that there will be third-party games on Wii in, say, 2008. There are games that have been announced that far out.
Mm-hmm.
From what I remember at GameCube, it was kind of like... And that's kind of the situation with the Drought. You had a few companies that were able to get games done in time for launch, but they didn't really have any plans beyond that, because they just wanted to wait and see.
Right, get something out there and see if they bite, the consumers bite.
And they did, and that still
didn't
help.
Well, they're
biting. Yeah. Well, it seems like things are doing slightly better with the Wii. I mean, it seems to be, at least at first, but we'll definitely have to wait a little while longer to see how things completely pan out. We are going to take a short break, and we will be back with our news segment. So see you in just a moment.
This week's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Evan Birchfield. Evan Birchfield is the finest supplier of premium high-definition televisions and toaster ovens. Please be sure to visit Evan Birchfield and peruse their online catalogs at www.batmanreturnsismydaddy.com. As always, Evan Birchfield appreciates your patronage, and with each purchase of $50,000 or more, we'll provide you with a free photograph of a cubic zirconium diamond found in the least inhumane mines of Africa. Remember, if it doesn't say Evan Birchfield, it may not be very good.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Radio Free Nintendo. Next up is our news segment. We're going to start out with the Game Developers Conference is rapidly approaching, and it's looking to be maybe the best GDC ever. The panel lineup is like an all-star list of some of the best current Japanese developers, and I'm not really the best one to speak about it. Steven knows a ton about it, so I'm going to let him take over for this.
Yeah, I think that GDC is really going to start to be the new, well, the E3 replacement, because we don't know how the new E3 is going to shake down, but we kind of know how GDC is. We know how people are, what people do there. It's probably going to become the big event that E3 was eventually. But anyway, so let's see what we got. We've got, let's see, Keiichi Yano from Innis, going to be talking about Elite Beat Agents and Owenden. Let's see what else. We've got Suda Goichi talking about
Suda 51.
Killer 7. Yes, better known as Suda 51 from Grasshopper. He's going to be talking about Killer 7, and I think his panel is called
that
Punk's
means.
Not Dead.
That man is certifiably insane.
Whatever that means. Let's see. We've got Koji Kondo is actually going
to
be
interactive music, but I'm guessing that has to probably more to do with music changing as the player does certain things in the game and not like a music game itself.
Don't you think he might be referring to the Wii music compilation
theme?
Yes,
that would also make a lot of sense, actually.
That could also be a possibility. And I think Iga is going to be there talking about Castlevania.
And there's some buzz that he may announce a sequel to Symphony of the Night or something to that effect.
I love my 2D games, man.
He needs to put a 2D Castlevania on Wii.
They're putting Symphony of Night out on Xbox Live.
Right, and that's cool, man. I don't have an Xbox, but
yeah,
that's
I would
awesome.
Buy it.
You know, that game needs to be played by more people. I think, honestly, I really, really love Portrait of Ruin. But I think year after year after year, the Castlevania 2D games on the handhelds, they're just... maybe it's just that the systems are too limited for them to really change the formula, but I think mostly it's just that they're not really motivated to change the formula. And I feel like, you know, let's stick him on another system but keep him in 2D. Clearly he sucks at 3D Castlevanias. He's made a couple, and they're not good. So keep it in 2D, but let's put it on a system that can push, like, really incredible art and, like, decent-looking 3D effects.
Yeah, and we could certainly do that.
Yeah, let's see something a little more new than just, you know, a barely used co-op feature or something.
Wasn't Iga kind of not liking the Wii when it was first announced?
And then he changed his mind.
Changed his mind a little
turned
now.
Turned it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was commented as saying, like, I don't think you could make Castlevania for Wii because your arm would get tired from all the whipping. To which I say, come on, man, can't you think... I mean, yeah, that's the really obvious use, but there's so many other things you could do other than just having... I mean, put the whip on a button and have motion controls for the sub-weapons
or something,
you know, like that.
Do something
that
like...
reasonable.
What was the previous... Not Portrait of Ruin, the one before that on the DS. Dawn of Sorrow, where you were drawing the signs.
Yeah.
I really loved that feature because it made me play with the stylus in my mouth, waiting for the last second to rip it out and draw something on the screen. I thought that was amazing. You couldn't have it in the system because you wouldn't have enough time to take it out, so I had to rest it on my lip like I was holding a cigarette or a toothpick in there.
Use your
I needed
finger.
My hands to play the game, so...
Anyway, Iga eventually came back and said, wow, with all the attention Wii's getting, I think we have no choice but to consider a Castlevania game.
Hopefully,
for it.
Even if they put it up on, like, WiiWare and just make it a downloadable... I would still get it. Or if they put Symphony of Night up on there, I would love that.
It's pretty big, though.
They seem to be putting on it every other system.
That's a pretty big file for.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, so our next news topic is speaking of the virtual console, Sega has three virtual console games out this week. They are Bonanza Brothers, Comics Zone, and Game Ground. And I did a little reading on Sega's site, and I know Comic Zone has somewhat of a cult following, and I looked at some screens of Bonanza Brothers, and this game looks completely terrible, but I don't know, have either of you played it?
Well, I saw the screenshots on Sega's site, and the copyright mentions that the game came out in 1989, whereas Comic Zone came out in 1995, and you can see at least 6 years of graphical difference.
Yeah, Bonanza Brothers is terrible.
Bonanza Brothers looks like a colorful NES game. I mean, it looks awful. Awful for a Genesis game. But Comic Zone, I rented Comic Zone back when it first came out, and from what I remember, the graphics were completely amazing on the Genesis, and it's basically a beat-em-up kind of thing, but it's set inside a comic book. So the cool thing is, it's all sectioned off into panels, and you have to, like, kick through the panel to get over to the next one. And he gains superpowers as you go through the game, and he gradually, like, becomes more of a
superhero. So it's sort of like the original Beautiful Joe, almost.
it is kind of like Beautiful Joe, except that I think it's even harder than Beautiful Joe, because I remember I really wanted to see him like get all of his superpowers, but I couldn't get far enough. I don't think he ever got a single one, because the game was so hard, I couldn't get far enough into the game to really see him do anything cool.
And then Gain Ground, from what I could gather, looked like some sort of, it looked a lot like Gauntlet to me, where you're sort of just hack and slash.
Or Akari Warriors.
Doesn't look like it would be
we'll find out, I guess.
To tell you the truth.
Well, we have one more news story, a little catch-up piece. You've obviously heard now about this woman who unfortunately died in a radio stunt trying to win a Wii console by holding her Wii, that meaning her urine. She died of water intoxication, which I didn't even know existed until 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's where I'm supposed to laugh at the name.
Yeah, but just a little update on that. 10 people 10 people have been fired from this radio station because of this, and the family's brought lawsuit against the station. Do you guys have anything to say on that?
I mean, why are people in the Nintendo community or the gaming community even on this? The story is water intoxication can kill people, not that this woman died for a Wii.
It has nothing to do with Wii. I mean, except for the
holding your urine for anything, really.
Yeah, it's really sad. And the saddest part is that she was doing it for her kids. I mean, she's got school-age children, and she was trying to do something nice for them. And basically, I mean, it is the radio station's fault, completely. Yeah, she didn't know anything about, clearly didn't understand anything about water intoxication. And to be fair, most people don't. But if the radio station is holding this contest and they're enticing people to do this activity, it's their responsibility to ensure that it's a safe activity, that it's reasonably safe. And if there are dangers, that they alert the participants to them. And I don't think the radio station like was malicious about it. I think they were just ignorant. And the thing is, you can't have a contest without being very sure about that it's safe to do, and it's your responsibility. So they're just negligent, and they deserve to be fired.
All right. So on that somber note, we're going to take our next break, and we will be back. And Carl's going to be joining us, so we'll have our full on four people discussing our feature topic, which is the spring Wii games and whether or not there really is a drought.
Let me guess. You just got a brand new Wii for Christmas, and after you finish Zelda, you're thinking to yourself, you know, I think I'd like to try some classic games. So you go onto Nintendo's Virtual Console service, and you're looking around, and you see some games you might want to try, maybe some Street Fighter, Super Castlevania, maybe even Box Adventure. Never know. But you're thinking to yourself, you know, I've never played these games, I don't know if they're any good, and I don't want to waste my precious VC points. So here's what you do. Go over to NintendoWorldReport.com and check out Virtual Console Mondays. Every week, on Monday, the staff at NintendoWorldReport.com dedicates their time to finding out what the best new games of that week are, whether it's Super Castlevania, Street Fighter, or the not-so-great NES Baseball. You can count on them to always tell you the truth in an easy-to-digest format. Again, that's NintendoWorldReport.com, Virtual Console Mondays. Have a great new year, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone, to Radio Free Nintendo. Steven and Johnny are still with me, but Carl Castaneda has joined our fold.
Yo-ho-ho, everybody.
This is our feature segment this week. We'll be talking about the spring games that are coming out for the Wii, you know, what games will be coming out in the spring. Nintendo says there's not a drought, but we're not sure. I mean, there looks like there might be some games, but we'd also like to raise the question, if all of these games suck, does it still count as a drought? I guess we should start off with Nintendo's games. We've got Wii Play coming out in February, and then Mario Party 8 and Metroid Prime 3 are both coming out sometime in the spring.
We hope.
I bet Prime is going to be early summer, early to mid-summer.
Is Mario Party 8 going to have online play?
Oh, Carl, you silly boy. This is Nintendo.
I had hope. I don't know.
Mario Party Online, that's sacrilege.
Is there at least going to be like LAN play?
You can't even mention that.
Land play, maybe?
No, there won't be.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? What good would land play do you in Mario Party? Like, everyone can have their own screen so they can all look at the game board at the same time.
But online, really,
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, is Mario Party just going to be another derivative game with...
It'll be fun, I think, but...
Wii controls.
Hey, the graphics are considerably better.
It's ridiculous that this game's not going to have online play.
Maybe it'll be better than WarioWare.
I think Mario Party and WarioWare are like a really nice duo to have for your multiplayer needs. For when people come over, I mean, WarioWare is obviously really ADD and crazy, but, you know, if some people are turned off by the weirdness of it or whatever, Mario Party has a more familiar structure, but the controls are probably similar. Mm-hmm. The games are a little longer and easier to figure out, and they give you more time to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And the game lasts longer, so if you want something, it's probably more appropriate as a drinking game, because if you use WarioWare as a drinking game, I think everyone would be plastered within 2 minutes. There you go. You can play Mario Party 8 to get drunk, and then WarioWare for your post-drunken.
Yes, that's good. I like that.
Frenzy. Stupor. Yeah, that's the word.
And we also have Wii Play, and I guess I'm not even sure I'm going to pick Wii Play up. I have two controllers. I'm not sure I need any more right now.
I need a controller, so I might pick it up.
If I didn't have a controller, $10 for a game is a steal, but I already have a controller, so.
Dude, you're going to need
I think I'm going to get it just because I need it.
You're going to need more controllers for Mario Party 8, obviously. But Wii Play, I think Wii Play as a game is going to be okay. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as good as Wii Sports by a long shot. But for $10, it'll probably be worth $10.
Standalone for $10, I would buy it.
And the best thing about it, maybe, is that it's going to mean an infusion of more Wii remotes into the marketplace. Because now they're really hard to find.
Well, there's also the fact that Wii Play is also going to be one of those games that people who have played Wii Sports, they might want to check that out. For us, it's probably just a bunch of minigames, but to them, it might be, wow, I can play, you know, hockey with the remote, or I can do, like, shooting with the remote. That might, you know, flip their boat more than us.
Well, Wii Play is doing really, really well in Japan, so maybe, and it alongside Wii Sports, so maybe the same people who like Wii Sports will like Wii Play.
Maybe. Or maybe they just really want controllers.
Maybe.
The other games we have coming out on, we have Sonic and the Secret Rings, which some of you, I don't know why, seem to still hold out hope for, but I've completely given up on that game after playing it at E3.
Well, the reason why I'm looking forward to it is that it's going to be the closest throwback to the original Sonic game since, Sonic Adventure, you could make the argument for. Well, console 3D game, rather. Because the 360 PS3 version is terrible.
It's you shouldn't even terrible. Call that a version. So it's a completely different game.
Terrible.
It's
anyway.
It's the game, I should say. So at the very least, the Wii game is going to be better. That's not saying much, but it's going
to
be better.
Well, just to clarify, I'm not looking forward to Sonic. I'm looking forward to the reviews of Sonic. And if they are incredibly positive, then I will consider picking it up. I'm not a big Sonic fan, but if it's a good game, if it's as good as the Genesis games, it's good enough for me to pick up. And the reason that I'm somewhat optimistic about it is because the major problems of the Sonic 3D games, which are the camera and the controls, and the extreme non-linearity. I mean, the story is bad, but it doesn't ruin the experience for me. But I think a major problem with the Sonic 3D games is that the levels are so non-linear that they don't really have any purpose to them, and you can't really tell what you're supposed to do, and you can't tell where you can go and where is off-limits. And, of course, the camera and the controls are atrocious in all of them. So, Sonic and the Secret Rings kind of eliminates all that. It's very linear, the controls are extremely simple, and the camera is automatic. So, for those reasons alone, I think, hey, it looks pretty, and they can probably come up with decent linear level design.
What are you doing? You know, all you're really doing is turning left and right.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that there will be branching paths, so it's not there, and it's not just left and right either. You can also slow down and speed up. You can back up a little bit if you run past something, and you can also jump and do homing attacks.
Right, it is, yeah.
So it's
hopefully
not as simple as you make it.
It'll flush out, because the last time I saw it, it was looking. I mean, it looked okay. It looked better than even still back then. Looked better than Sonic the Hedgehog for the PS3 360. But I'm still a little shaky on it. Other games coming out. We also have a Bust a Move in Mortal Kombat. I don't know if any. I mean, Bust a Move should be a perfectly fine puzzler, but Mortal Kombat. I don't know.
Mortal Kombat. I'll play it.
I'm looking forward to Mortal Kombat.
You know, we still don't know anything about Mortal Kombat on Wii.
Well, it's the port of the PS2 game.
But beyond that, I mean, it's not going to be a straight port. You know, if it was, then they could have had it out on launch.
I'm expecting something similar to
that's true.
Budokai Tenkaichi 2, or Tenkaichi Budokai 2, where they're going to have, like, it's going to be really gimmicky and have, like, you know, shake the nunchuck forward to punch and, like... Think of, like, Wii boxing on like its side. And I think that's what we're going to get from Mortal Kombat. And I'm going to relish in that just because it's going to be so awful.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think...
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I don't think it's going to be that simple either, because Mortal Kombat gameplay, although not nearly my favorite fighting game series, but it is more complicated than
true.
What you
yeah,
have in the...
It's a lot like Soul Calibur, but not as good.
Yeah.
It's more of a hardcore fighting game. Dragon Ball Z games are clearly made for Dragon Ball Z fans who think, oh, yeah. It would be cool to have a game where these characters fight each other. It's not made for fighting game fans. And Mortal Kombat is. It's just made for fighting game fans with poor taste.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, wow, look at all that blood.
Actually, that's true. You know what? I think the Mortal Kombat game on the Wii is going to have something to do with you know, motion controls for fatalities. Because a big feature of Armageddon on the PS2 was where you could create your own fatalities by linking them together. So if you wanted to emulate the fatality bit where you're about the guy's spine, you just like shake it up really quick, and that'll rip out the guy's spine or something. That could be cool. Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting thing about Mortal Kombat. I wonder if you guys have thought about it, but the previous Mortal Kombat game, the one before this
Deception.
One, and I don't recall the name of it, but I remember that they decided, eventually decided not to release it on GameCube because they felt that the online features were too important to the game, and that it just wouldn't have that much appeal on GameCube without the online features. Of course, there's no reason they couldn't have put it on GameCube with the online features.
Yeah. Well, they did put it on.
They just didn't
eventually.
Want to go through the hassle.
It
so
eventually came out on GameCube. They added in Shao Kahn and Goro. No, that was Deception.
What about...
No, that was for the original.
I'm positive it was for Deception.
That was for Deadly
Guys,
Alliance.
I'm positive.
Yeah, I think that was for Deadly Alliance.
Check it out.
Okay. Well, anyway, maybe all the Mortal Kombat games came out on GameCube. I don't know. I wouldn't get near one. But I know at one point, Midway was quoting as saying that they didn't feel like... They felt that the online features were so important that it just wasn't worth porting it over. Supposedly in the new one, Armageddon, the online features are also very important. So do you guys think that given the delay between the release of that game and the Wii version, maybe they've been spending some of this time, or maybe they just delayed it to the point where they could get online play in there?
I doubt it.
You know, that's what I first heard. When I heard, I don't know where exactly I heard this, I might be just wishing this, but I heard the reason why they delayed it was for them to wait until they could put it online. Which would make sense, because like Johnny said before, if they wanted to put the game out on the Wii right away, it would have already been out
probably.
On the
Wii.
So why,
well, yeah.
why delay
it? Or just could be taking them a while to add
in,
some motion controls,
you know,
to it.
Stuff for online
that could
stuff.
Be right. equally.
My idea is that you're probably not going to see many, if any, third parties putting out online games until Nintendo already has a few under their belt.
I agree.
So I really don't expect Armageddon to be online for the Wii.
Are those in the American version?
They kind of have online features
that's
and elements
good.
A little bit.
At least that's something.
But, you know...
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how they work, but they're in there.
And then another... We got a couple of other big games. EA really seems to be supporting the Wii quite a bit more than I think anyone really expected they would be. Games coming out this spring.
Bravo, EA.
Tiger
Bravo.
Woods, the Godfather game. And which has some silly subtitle that I can't remember. Or was it Blackhand? Was it Backhand?
Yes.
Backhand.
Blackhand.
I don't remember.
They should have called it Pimp
SSX
Hand
Blur,
Edition.
Which is, I don't know, that's definitely the one I'm looking forward to the most. I'm a huge, huge SSX fan.
You know what I was really surprised about? You remember how Ubisoft had all these games lined up for launch, and EA was just kind of there with Madden? And it really looked like Ubi was going to support the Wii big time, and EA was going to be like, we'll get there eventually.
Far Cry.
Well, after Ubi released all these crap ports, and EA is bringing these awesome... Yeah, EA is bringing all of these awesome original versions to the Wii. I kind of did a 180 on this, and Ubisoft
is
there to
make
money.
EA is the company about making
EA
money.
EA is there to make money, too.
Yeah.
But EA is really putting...
They're doing it the right way, though.
Yeah, EA is... Yes, they're getting these Wii specific studios. They are really they're really doing a good job. And Need for Speed Carbon, I reviewed that a couple weeks ago. I was actually really surprised that the motion controls they're really good for racing, and I really enjoy them a lot. So
Anyway, I'll move on. I could talk forever about SSX as well. I want to put my faith in them, but I really want to get my hands on them because it seems a little complex with the all the steering is on the nunchuck, but not with the joystick. If you want to turn left, you just tilt the nunchuck left, and then if you need to go sharper, then you start using the joystick. And if you want to jump, you just flick it up in the air. And then once you're in the air, you basically control everything with the remote, and you're like, you do your tricks with the remote, and you press a button, and then you move it, and you can do a grab, or you can do a spin, or... I'm not exactly sure how well it's going to translate. A lot of the people who've played it in, like, EGM and stuff, they say they really like it, but I'm still skeptical. I really need to get my hands on it.
Now, I heard something about this, and I read this on Gab, so maybe it's not true, but that it's essentially, like, a remake of other tracks from other games, from the other SSX games, and then put back into this.
From what the EGM article said, they implied that there was definitely some old assets being used, but also some new ones. So I guess it's sort of, what you could almost say is it looks like it's going to be a greatest hits of SSX tracks. And then, well, you know, usually when a band releases a greatest hits album, they also have a couple new songs on it as well, kind of thing.
Well, I agree that the controls seem pretty complicated. I want to know what you think about what we've heard that in order to do the Uber moves, I don't know if that's what they're still called, but the really super crazy moves, you have to draw all these different shapes, and there's a different shape for each move.
There were some screenshots that seemed to imply that it wouldn't actually be using the pointer function on that. That because the screenshots imply that, because one of them shows like the player holding, it's got the picture of the game screen, but then it has a little, you know, picture in picture of the what the controllers are looking like, and it has a picture of the person or the two controllers being held right next to each other, and then like lines being drawn out from either of them, so it makes like a heart shape. Like symmetrically, you move your hands to form a heart. From the top center of the heart, you curve up and down and up and around and down to make a heart with them. So it looks like it would just follow the motion of your hands and the controllers to do the monster tricks. And from what it seemed like, all of them were symmetrical in some way, so you wouldn't be like doing something completely crazy, and they'd just be like very simple motions. That made me feel very good, because I was a little really worried about having to point the remote at the screen and like draw and trace a star that was on there. I figured I would never be able to do that.
Well, yeah, the only thing I can compare it to is Trauma Center, but the star in Trauma Center is very difficult to draw correctly.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. I thought of you saying that, and I thought, oh no, but it appears that it's more motion sensitive when you're doing the monster tricks.
That's very good, yeah.
And I don't know, I'm very interested in what it's going to look like, and there's going to be some Mii integration, I guess, and maybe, if we're really lucky, I'll be able to play against people online.
No. So, yeah. What about taking all these games together as kind of the Q1 releases for Wii?
I think there's some Q2 in there also.
I'm pretty sure Sonic might slip to Q2.
Sonic is due out next month.
Huh.
It's due in February, yeah.
It is? I thought it was
February.
Like,
I mean, it could be moved to late March, but for right now, apparently it's in February.
I mean, it does release like pretty soon in Japan, right?
Not sure.
I really don't know.
The Sonic team is based in America, aren't they? Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea. We're all completely clueless on this game.
Because it's all Sonic team. I mean, all these various different studios.
Yeah, Sega's studios are really weird. Since they reconglomerated all of them. Yeah. Now that they're all just one giant studio with different divisions, it's really impossible to tell who's making what anymore.
Well, I think, personally, I think this is a pretty good lineup for the first quarter after launch. It's definitely much, much better than what GameCube had in the spring of 2002.
I'm looking at my GameCube news now, and I can't even remember which one of those came out.
There was not much. Not much at all. January has been a little rough. I mean, WarioWare, I'm really excited to play WarioWare, but other than that, there's been nothing at all. But February and March are looking maybe pretty good.
I mean, I think everyone kind of gives systems a little bit of leeway when it comes to that first quarter post-launch. But, you know, I mean, we saw with the DS, if you guys remember January 2005, it was pretty awful.
That's the worst WarioWare game ever, basically.
Yeah, for a few months.
It's still okay, but...
and I speaking of WarioWare Touch, I remember someone being very angry that it won our import game of the year for 2004. I remember, rightfully angry.
It probably was me, because it's definitely like the worst of the lot, with Twisted being the best.
But anyways, so we had this whole 2005 thing where things didn't really pick up until I think it was Canvas Curse came out. And then it was Nintendogs, and then it led us into that, you know, godly fourth quarter for the DS, which was amazing. Like Phoenix Wright, Trauma Center, Mario Kart.
Yeah, that was a really great
all these great games
quarter.
That came out within like a month of each other.
That year was on DS. That year on DS was not as bad if you were importing a lot of games. I remember importing Meteos,
true.
And that really helped me get through the American.
Well, that was a summer game for us
Kirby
in America too, so wasn't too bad at least. Hmm? That was a summer game for us, but at least you had it in the spring, which is better.
Yeah, I had it back in March, I think.
And then it kicked off, and we had games like Castlevania, and then of course Meteos came out in America and all that good stuff. So as if that happens with Wii, I'm down. that sounds great.
We got Mario and Smash Brothers, which, you know, hopefully both will make it out, but given Nintendo's track record with delays on huge titles, I would not be surprised if at least one of them slipped 2008.
The thing that I'm not quite sure about, as far as DS games go, maybe you guys can remind me about this, but did we know that Q3 and Q4 for DS 2005 was going to be that great, or was E3 where everyone was kind of surprised?
It was E3, so we'll have to wait and see.
It was really good at E3.
So we might just wait and see, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I guess that'll bring us to the end of this week's Radio Free Nintendo. I'd like to thank Carl, Steven, and Johnny for joining me this week. And, of course, if you have any listener mail, please send it in. We are committed to answering a question a week on listener mail, so do not hesitate to write us. Even if we get one question and it's the most terrible thing ever, we'll read it. We don't care.
Well, we have been getting lots of letters lately.
Yes,
so thanks
I'd like to thank you guys for writing in, because we definitely saw a lot more come in this week than any week before.
And we had that Megaton listener mail week a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy listening to Radio Free Nintendo. If you do have listener mail or any questions or comments or anything like that, you can send an email to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. I've been your host, Mike Sklenz, and we will see you in a week.
Bye.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
I'm your host, Mike.
Mike Sklenz cannot even say his own fucking name.